Happiness can't be defined. It can only be experienced. You have to feel it to recognize it. And once you do, words seem to fall short of expressing it. All the same, we're going to try to explain it, approaching it from different angles. The first idea I want to get across is this. There are no cheat sheets or shortcuts that guarantee happiness. There's already a lot of criticism out there of self-help books that promise a simple recipe to happiness. But what's true is that now we have a multitude of studies and scientific data that give us a fairly specific sense of the level of physical and psychological well-being indispensable to happiness. Psychiatrists study mental illness, or rather, we study people who suffer from mental or emotional disturbances. Frequent professional conferences are held on the most varied issues in the field. The brain, or some specific region of it, neuronal markers, and the physiology behind them, internal or external factors that make psychiatric illness more likely, or how to improve the reliability of diagnostics and the latest experimental treatments. In general, we look at mental afflictions through every possible scientific lens. Since I was young, my vocation has been to treat and help people suffering from sadness and anguish. This has led me to investigate happiness, pleasure, love, compassion, and joy, and to pose myself a series of difficult questions. Why are there people with a tendency to suffer and complain, no matter their situation? Does good luck exist, or is it not as random as it seems? What importance do genes carry in forming people's minds and their characters? Which factors predispose me to be or prevent me from being happier? Investigating these issues has pushed me down lots of different paths in search of the most thought-provoking reading. Our society is, at present, richer than ever in comparative terms. We have never had as much as we do now. Generally, our primary needs are taken care of, and we have almost any item at our disposal, in most cases, only a click away. As a consequence, though, it isn't desirable and should be avoided. Overabundance is becoming normal. Sometimes we believe that we deserve everything, an attitude encouraged by our reigning materialism, which makes us think that it's good to have access to everything that we desire. However, no accumulation of things on its own can grant access to happiness, to an interior state of plenitude. Happiness consists in having a fully realized life, in which we try to get the best out of our values and aptitudes. Happiness is making a little work of art out of life, striving every day to bring out our best selves. Happiness is intimately related to the meaning we give our lives and our existence. As we will see, the first step toward trying to be happy is recognizing what we are asking for from life. In a world that has lost its meaning and its sense of direction, we tend to substitute sensations for that sense. Society is suffering from a huge spiritual vacuum that it tries to fill with a frantic search for sensations, bodily satisfaction, sex, food, alcohol, etc. There is a widespread and insatiable need to experience new and ever more intense emotions and sensations. There is nothing bad, per se, about sex, gourmet cooking, or the pleasure of a glass of good wine. I'm talking about when the search for these sensations is substituted for true meaning in life. In these cases, where the sense of direction has been lost, the accumulation of sensations produces a momentary gratification. Meanwhile, our interior void grows like a black hole, slowly engulfing our lives, inevitably leading to psychological ruptures or destructive behaviors. Only then, when the damage is done, does the affected person or someone close to them realize that recovery is beyond their own strength and seek external help. This is when someone in the role of a psychiatrist or psychologist becomes necessary to help rebuild a person's life.